Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. Lisbon's quirky kiosks have been around since the mid-19th century and are partly responsible for the community spirit that we experience in the city today. Here's Monocle's Carlotta Rabello.
When I decided to pack my bags and bid farewell to the nation that I had called home since birth, I knew there were a few things that I was going to miss. Friends and family, a handful of regular haunts, and probably more hours of sunshine a year than those that I actually need. But on the whole, what could Portugal possibly have that I wouldn't be able to find elsewhere? The answer I've discovered is plenty. It takes feeling at home somewhere else to realize where or what your home truly is. It's not a nation, a city, or a town, but simply a way of being. There's something endearing about the way in which a city can encourage us to create little daily rituals that make our lives worth living. And in Lisbon's case, us, creature of habit, are suckers for a certain piece of urban architecture, the humble kiosk. Portugal's love affair with these small wrought iron garden pavilions goes back to the late 1860s, and rarely has any other structure been so representative of a nation's spirit. By the time the first kiosks appeared in the city, the trend had already spread across Europe. City Hall saw them as a practical means of embellishing the capital, and from the start they sported the same Moorish meets Art Nouveau look for which they are still known to this day. Open on at least one side, the kiosk was the perfect hybrid between a cafe and a bar, in a more central location and, most importantly, more affordable. From the moment they appeared, Lisbon was a changed city. People bubbled with excitement over these new meeting places. In the early hours of the morning, you could see blurry-eyed workers lined up along the counters, swallowing shots of espresso or something stronger to kickstart their day. And while they were mainly hangouts for the working class in the beginning, it didn't take long for a more eccentric and intellectual clientele to become kiosk regulars, particularly after dinner when spirited debates would extend into the wee hours. They started off selling solely drinks and nibbles, but soon all sorts of goods were on offer too. Tobacco and newspapers, as well as lottery and theater tickets. In the riverfront kiosks, you could even find fried fish and olives, catering for the personnel working in the docks near Cais do Sodré. The newfound hustle and bustle of life in Lisbon came to a halt in the late 1930s, when Prime Minister António de Oliveira Salazar brought previously democratic Portugal under his authoritarian rule. With his Estado Novo dictatorship, gathering together in public was discouraged and in many cases forbidden for fear of people plotting against the state. As a result, many kiosks closed down or were abandoned, and by 1974, when the country was unshackled from the regime, the culture had all but disappeared. The few that remained or managed to claw their way back in the late 1980s were the exception. It's only recently that Lisbon has gone through a kiosk revolution, pioneered by local entrepreneurs. By embracing its past, it has propelled itself into the future, and today, strolling through the tree-lined squares and gardens, you'll stumble upon restored decades-old structure and new ones that still somehow exude a vintage charm. Offering everything from quintessential Portuguese treats and drinks to sushi and tapas, they are once again a staple in the cityscape and the epicenter of daily life for Lisboetas. It took me a while, but I now recognize the impact that these little one-man booths have had in defining who we are. Kiosks are a gateway, conversation starters that bring the community together, and most likely the root of why we love to eat and drink al fresco. As for me, I now know what I can only find in Portugal. A day in the sun, in a leafy square, with a cold glass of amarguinha in one hand and a newspaper in the other.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Carlotta Rabello for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, City Lovers.